So I hear that you guys were talking about me in this morning's sermon. Let me tell you, the story of Josiah is such a great story, and that's why my mom named me Josiah, just because of that man and everything. So I'm glad you guys are getting to look a little bit about King Josiah. That's great. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Father, I thank you so much that we could be here today, that we could get a chance to look at your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us as we consider what it means to set our minds on you, on the things above. Lord, help us tonight, help us today, help us to do the things that we do for you, Lord. For all your honor and your glory, in your name I pray. Amen. I need to let you guys know something. I love football. I don't know how many of you guys like football out there, but I really enjoy football. My favorite team is the Eagles, and I've rooted for them since they were bad, which, you know, they were pretty bad, but I started rooting for them, and I really got into football. When I was very young, this was 1998, I started really getting into Eagles football and stuff. And I'd watch every game. Me and my dad, we'd sit and we'd watch it every Sunday, and we'd get to see the Eagles game. I wouldn't miss a game. You know, if we missed it, we recorded it. You know, we made sure that we saw all the Eagles games. And I loved watching football. I loved watching the Eagles play. Now, I also knew that Pappy liked the Steelers. And back then, I was a little awkward as a kid and stuff. I didn't really know what to talk about sometimes. So one of the things I would say to people if I didn't know them or if I didn't know what to talk about, I would just say, you like football, you know? And that's one of the conversations that me and Paps used to have. I used to always ask them, hey, how are your Steelers doing, you know? Or you know, how's those quarterbacks for the Steelers doing? Or I'd start talking to him. He would say, I don't know. I'd say, you don't know, but Pat, that's your team, right? You know, you like football. And he would say, yeah, but, you know, I have to be careful. I have to be very careful about how into I get in with football. And I was like, I don't get that, you know? It's football. Come on, you know? I love football. And I never understood that as a kid. But as I started watching the Eagles, I saw them win a lot of games. Which they weren't doing that when I had first started watching football. But they started winning a lot, and they even got to the Super Bowl. They lost in the Super Bowl, but they got to the Super Bowl, and I was like, yeah, this is great, you know. But after each season came disappointment, and I would be sitting the whole off season waiting for football to start again. And then when it did start, I'd get all excited, and then another disappointment. And I started thinking about, you know, I was really focused on football. I was really focused on, I knew all the players, I knew the numbers, I knew everything. I started thinking, what would it be like if I knew God or the Bible as well as I did my football? And you know, it just became very clear to me how focused I was on this sport, this game that really ultimately didn't mean all that much. I still like football, and I'll still watch it, and I'll still get into it. But the Lord has really shown me that if I'm not careful, it can start controlling my mind and being what I focus on. And you know, I don't know, for all of us, we're in different places in our lives. But I'm sure that there are things in your life that you are focused on that is taking you away from your relationship with God. And as we look at this passage in Colossians, the first verse, look at what it says. I want to read the first two verses again. Therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And as we look at What does it mean to set our minds on things above and not on things of the earth? Let's talk about what the things above are. Word study says the things above are things in a higher place. A.T. Robertson says they are the upward things. And, you know, as I started thinking about it and looking at this passage, none of the commentators mentioned this, but I felt like this was really important to point out. And that is, I think the things that are above are the things of Christ. Because if you look in verse 1, it says, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And as we look at this passage today, I want us to focus on what would it be like to focus on Christ. When we're focusing on the things above, not on things of the earth, are we focused on Him? Are we focused on other things? What does it mean to seek? That's the first thing. It says to seek the things above. To seek has the idea of to try to gain, to strive after, with the idea of earnestness. In fact, the NIV translates this as set your hearts on things above. When we look at this, we're not just talking about, this is entitled setting our minds on things above, but we're not just talking about thinking, okay, I got to think about things above all day, and that's, you know, okay, I'll just look at my Bible all day, and there you go, yeah. It has the idea of setting your heart, your earnestness on the things above. On these things that are in a higher place, the upward things, the things of Christ, has the idea of setting our hearts, our earnestness on. The second time it says it in verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above. The idea of mind, as Word Study puts it, is to have a mindset. It involves the will. It involves our affections. It involves the conscience. And it is to be mindful of and to be devoted to. That's the idea of setting our minds. It's not just, okay, I have to think about it. It has this idea of it has our affections involved in it. Our heart, again, that as we mentioned with the seeking. To set our minds and emotions on the things above. I want to notice something, because I think that this is really important what Paul is trying to say in verse 1 and 2. He says basically the same thing twice. Okay? He says to seek the things above, and then he says to set your mind on things above. Now, in his day, if you were to repeat yourself, that usually means that it's something important. It's for emphasis. It's emphasizing something. So the fact that Paul says this twice, he's trying to emphasize something. He's trying to emphasize these things above. The second thing I want you to notice, I'll just be honest, I don't understand Greek very well. I definitely use the commentaries and stuff. I can't do Greek very well. But the one thing I do know about this passage is those two times that it talks about the things above, setting your mind and seeking the things above, it uses in Greek what's called a present imperative. Now, a present imperative is a continual command. It has the idea that it's a command. And in fact, in Greek, it's one of the strongest commands that could be used in the language. Okay? So it's a strong command. And not only is it a strong command, it's a continual command. In other words, if you said, Billy, go take out the trash. Billy, go take out the trash. He's done, right? This command isn't just, Billy, go take out the trash. He can do it and then he's done. This command is something that you continually do. You don't stop doing. It's a command that you keep on doing. We said the idea would be like this. The things above, be constantly seeking. That's how Weiss would put it. You know, I think that's really accurate to what Paul is trying to say. He's trying to say, don't just do it once and be done. Continue to set your mind on things above. Don't stop. Keep on doing it. So I look at this passage and I see Paul's trying to make a point. It's an important point. It was an important point for the Church of Colossae, and it's an important point for us. Are we setting our minds on things above? You might say, well, why? Why should I set my mind on things above? Well, I think Paul gives us three different points here, and I'd like to look at them. The first one is found in verse 1, and that is, the reason we should set our mind on things above is because we are raised with Christ. If you look in verse 1 in the beginning, it says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. Now, this is a connection to what's been talked about in the previous chapter, in Colossians chapter 2. Paul had been talking a lot about things that the Christian church should not be doing. And he had mentioned a few times that to stay away from false teaching, to stay away from false doctrines, false philosophies. There was even something going on about worship of angels in that church at that time. And Paul was confronting that. And in chapter 2, he mentions it. And he keeps saying, if you have been raised with Christ, or if you have died to your sins, as found in chapter 2, verse 12, and chapter 2, verse 20. He mentions it twice. If you have been raised with Christ. I started thinking, what does it mean to be raised with Christ? And the idea is to be made alive in Christ. It's talking about salvation. It's talking about if we've accepted Christ in our lives, and we've accepted Him, and that we've asked for forgiveness for our sins, and we've asked Him to take our sin. Because Christ died on the cross and rose again, He destroyed the power of death and sin. And if we are believers, if we have put our faith and hope in Christ, He's taken our sin away. He's removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. And Paul is trying to say, hey, if this is you, the following is going to be true. And that's the first thing I want to mention to you. If any of you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to really start thinking about that. Because I tell you this one thing, I found in my own Christian life as I've lived, there's nothing more special than having a personal relationship with Christ. And not only that, there's nothing more saving than having a personal relationship with Christ. He's everything that I could have ever wanted in my life. And I tell you this, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to really look into the Scriptures, look at what Christ has said. Talk to Pap or Sean over there, you know. I encourage you, don't put that off. Paul makes it clear, if you have been raised with Christ, then you should set your minds on things above. Hendrickson says, you know, he was making an interesting point. If the Colossian church was raised with Christ, why should they seek salvation or fullness anywhere apart from Him? And so his point is that this Colossian church seemed to be moving away from that and looking at, like, oh, worship of angels, we need to do this. We could look over here for maybe fullness or something else. And Paul's trying to say, no, don't do that. Look to Christ. Look to the things above. Have we been raised with Christ? Before we continue, that needs to be the question on our hearts. If we have, then we can look forward to what Christ is, or what Paul's saying next. But if not, that's something we need to stop there and really evaluate our hearts. Have we been raised with Christ? Second point. Why should we set our minds on things above? Because we have died. Look in, let's reread verse 2 and 3. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you have died. Now, there's a connection between this death and the earth, not being having our mind set on things on the earth, okay? The idea is that you have died is connected to that earth, okay? Why should we not focus on things on the earth? Because we have died to that. The earth, as Barnes would say, has the idea of worldly pleasures. But I would even extend that into the idea that, you know, it can be a daily thing for us, such as Eagles football, you know? It's not bad. It's not sin to watch football, okay? But these are things that are on the earth that can distract us from Christ, distract us from Him. And we are not supposed to be focused, so focused that that's all we think about. We are supposed to be focused on something higher, on the things above. So when it talks about us dying, it's talking about dying to these things of the earth, these things that aren't as important to the things above. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. I just want to read this passage because this is such a powerful passage. It's going to be verse 1 through 10. And the more I think about this, I was thinking about cutting down on the verses, but I feel that this is such a powerful passage. And I just want to read this. I want us to be thinking of what it means, what it truly means for us to be made alive in Christ. Because that is such an awesome thing. And I think that we go through our life and we don't really think about it all that much. We just kind of say, I've been saved, But just the reality of it, I don't know if it all the time hits me. And I'm sure, for others it might be the same. But let's read this passage in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is mastery over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. If you have been raised with Christ, this new life is ours. This death that Jesus died, he died once and for all for sin. And now we can live with him. What joy should fill our hearts with this? This idea of a new life with Christ. But that means that we have to die to our old self. By the way, I think that's much more harder than sometimes we would like to let on. We would like to say, yeah, that person back there, that's not me anymore. I'm this new person. And that's true for most of us. But oftentimes I think we find ourselves stuck in our old sins, in our old ways. And the point here is we don't have to be. We don't have to be stuck there. We can have newness of life in Christ. I'll tell you, it's a day-to-day struggle for me. I struggle with sin almost every day. And Christ has to constantly humble my heart and show me the errors of my ways so that I can repent and rely on him and his forgiveness and his love. There's new life. Why should we set our minds on things above? Because we've died. We've died to that old self. We don't live for the earth anymore. We don't live for these worldly pleasures. We don't live for the things of this world. We live for something bigger, better, more wonderful. We live for the things above. As Christians, we're living for that. And you know what? It's much more worth it. We said this. You died. That is separation from the former life and everything pertaining to it. Everything pertaining to it. When you died, when you became a believer, when you put your faith in Christ, your old life died. And everything pertaining to it. Problem is, we still want to go back sometimes. My challenge is to focus on things above, because our old life is gone and we have a new focus. It's no longer this earth. It's no longer the sin that's here, that we're tempted with day to day. That's not what we're living for. That does not have mastery over us anymore, as Romans says. 4 points of application. I started thinking a lot about what is the difference between focusing on the things of the earth and focusing on things above. I started really contemplating it, and I came up with 4 points. I want to share with you about how, as I'm looking at this, I see that the things above are better. You can add more if you'd like, but these are my four. The first thing is that the things above, unlike the things of the earth, will satisfy. The things above will satisfy. There's been many things in my life that I've longed for. Some of them I've gotten, some of them I haven't. Sometimes I didn't get them, and I look back and said, "Whoa, I'm glad I didn't get that. I was wrong about that. Man, it's a good thing I didn't get that." Other times I'm longing for something and I get it, and maybe it's great for a little bit, but you know, after a while it fades away. It doesn't last. I tell you this, the things above will satisfy. They will satisfy more than anything else this world has to offer. I've gotten to the chance to look at a lot of different religions and things like that. I actually took a course at PBU called World Religions. Got to look into Buddhism and Hinduism, not because I was interested, but just because I wanted to know more about them so that I could share my faith with those kind of people. And I was shocked at how little they really seem to offer. Christ offers us forgiveness. He offers us hope. He offers us love. In all the religions that I studied, there was no God that loved. And I looked at that. I was trying to see if there was a God that would love. And I couldn't find any. Our God loves us. I think it's the greatest thing that we long for in our human lives. We long for love. And God gives it to us. He loves us. What does the world have to offer us that can beat that? What can the world offer that can beat His forgiveness, His compassion, His mercy, His grace? Second point of application. The things above, unlike the things of the earth, are eternal. They're lasting. They will not fade away. I've gotten a lot of things that I've really enjoyed. I got this PlayStation once. I'm not that big into game stuff, but I had Madden football. So, I mean, if it was football, I liked it, right? So I got this Madden football, and I loved it. I loved playing it, and it broke. You know? I mean, I enjoyed having it. It was nice to have and play, but it didn't last. It broke. And so I bought another one. That one broke. You know, the things of this earth, they don't last. The things that the world has to offer, I guarantee you they will not last. I was just talking to one of my kids at my church that I work at, and he was struggling with drug addiction. And, you know, I've gotten to share a lot with him, and he seems to really have changed his life around. But I said, hey, I was actually, the reason it brought up, because I was talking a little bit about drug and drug addiction. I was sharing about how when you take drugs, it gives you a high, but then it brings you lower than you were before, so that you feel like you need it again. And after a while, it just keeps doing this spiral where it's like, after a while, you're just taking drugs to just feel normal. That's the thing about drugs. You start taking them just to, so you can feel normal. And I was talking to this kid, and he said, yeah, you know, that was it. Man, it gave me a high. It was great. But you know what? Man, after a while, I was so down, I was just trying to take him to be normal. You know, that's what the kind of things that the world has to offer. That is truly what the world has to offer, and it's not lasting. The things above, they will last. They are eternal. The relationship that you have with Christ today will last through all eternity. Imagine that. The relationship that you have with Christ right now is the relationship that's going to last for eternity. Hopefully you'll grow in your relationship with God. But imagine that. Something that started right here, right now. Well, I mean, probably started before that. But I mean, something that you have right now, that's going to continue. That relationship. And it's going to go deeper. You're going to have a greater love for God. Isn't that cool? It's going to last. Nothing in this world will last. The third point of application. The things above, unlike the things of the earth, they give true purpose. I used to want to be a football player. Again, I like football. I used to want to be a football player. I'm glad I didn't. Because ultimately, I was just thinking, it's just a game. What purpose would I have had? There's lots of things that I live my life for that really ultimately have no purpose at all. I don't even know why half the times I live for them. Because ultimately, once I finally achieve what I wanted to achieve, or I get what I wanted to get, I look back and I feel empty-handed. You know? I'm not saying that you can't, you know, enjoy sports or things like that, but if you're focused on it, if that's where your hope lies, if that's what you're living for, is it worth it? The things above give true purpose. I hope you guys don't mind me sharing this. When I lost my mom, it's the toughest thing I ever went through. The toughest thing in my whole life. And it's still tough today. I miss her so bad sometimes. But the one thing I realize is that if I was depending on the world, when my mom passed away, I would not be here. I would have lost it. Because what purpose would I have had? If I was holding on to family or friends or things like that, I would have realized, man, I can lose it. And what purpose would I have had? But Christ gave me real, true purpose. If you are a believer in Him, He gives you true purpose. Purpose that's going to last and that will satisfy. Purpose that's great. He has a plan for you. A great plan. He wants to use you. The fourth point of application. The things above, unlike the things of the earth, are focused around Christ. I tell you this, I miss my mom very much, but I know this. After losing my mom, my relationship with Christ has done a lot better. Because I see how much I need Him. I see how much I am desperately lost without Christ. And as I think about the things above, and I know that's where Christ is, because it says He's seated at the right hand of God. When I think about Christ, that is what gets me through my day. That is what gets me through each year. Not all the time, because I fail miserably. But I tell you this, if Christ wasn't what I was living for, I wouldn't be here. And I hope the same can be true for you. I'm sure that for some of you it is, and praise the Lord for that. We need to have our focus, our attention on Christ. The fourth point that I would like to talk about is about why should we focus on things above. The fourth thing is because one day we will be with Him. One day, this world that is not our home, this world that doesn't have all that much to offer, we'll be done with it and we can be with Christ. Look at our passage in Colossians. Verse 3 and 4. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. I love in verse 4 when it starts, when Christ, who is our life. The fact that we have died is really interesting because in this death, there's life at the same time. I think it's very different from what we're used to thinking. When we think of death, we think of the end. So sometimes. But with Christ, if we've died to our sin, we have a life. And this life is founded where? In Christ. Christ who is our life. I hope that we can all say that Christ is our life. I know some days it's not that good for me. But let me tell you, when Christ is my life, that's when I have this purpose. When I'm satisfied. That's when I know that it's going to last. It's when I'm focused on Christ. What are we focused on today? Are we focused on Christ? Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 1, or chapter 12, sorry. Verses 1 and 2. I don't know if you guys got to watch any of the Olympics or anything, but getting to see some races and things like that. I think of the Olympics. I think of racing when I look at this passage. Look at it. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to imagine that you are in a valley. And this valley, at the end of it, you're at one end of the valley. At the other end of this valley, there's a hill. And this hill leads up to a barn. This barn that's just up on the hill. And you decide, hey, I'm going to go for a walk through the valley to the barn. But there's one thing. There's snow on the ground. And this snow is a very new snow. No one has walked in it yet. I love that, by the way. Looking at snow and just no one stepped in it. It's just snow all the way. It's beautiful. I don't like snow all that much, but I like snow then. It's the one time I like snow. So I want you to imagine that you're in this place and you're going to go to this barn. And there's the snow. But instead of looking at the barn, you put your head down and you don't look at the barn at all and you move toward the barn. When you get to the top, what do you think you'll find? I think you'll find that your path is all wiggled. It's not straight. Because you weren't focused on the thing that would keep you straight. What if you were to go and do it again? And instead, have your eyes focused on the barn and walk with your eyes totally on the barn. Do you know what I think you would find? That line would be straight. And I think that as it comes to our lives and living for Christ, are our eyes fixed on Christ? Because if they're not, we're going to have issues. We're going to have major issues. And we're not going to be on the right path. We're not going to be going the right way. If our eyes are fixed on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, that's what we should be doing. This isn't true in this, I saw one Olympics where this guy was running and he had already run the race and he started just dancing around and past the finish line. That's not usually the way it works. When you run a race, you run with your eyes fixed straight. You don't look at the people in the stands. You don't look around you. You go straight toward that finish line. And you don't look. You just keep going. Your eyes fixed on that. Is that what our life looks when it comes to following Christ? When it comes to running this race that we're in? Are our eyes fixed so are they so focused on Christ that nothing can turn our eyes? That's the kind of life that Christ wants us to live. That is what Paul calls us to do when he says to seek the things above and to set your mind on things above, to focus on Christ. Folks, one day we will see Jesus. One day we will be able to look at him. I don't know if we'll look at him right away because it'd be pretty crazy seeing him in his full glory. But one day, we will be face to face with Christ. And my prayer for you, my prayer for myself too, is that when He looks at us and He says something to us, my hope is that He would look at us and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You lived your life to follow me." I'd like us each to evaluate our hearts. Are we focused on Christ? Are we focused on Him? Are our eyes fixed on Him? Are we running towards Him? Life can get hard. Life can get really rough sometimes. And there can be a lot of pain and hurt. But even through that, are we still focused on what will satisfy us? Something that will last for eternity? Are we focused on Christ? Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your love and for Your care for us. I thank You so much that we could be here today. I thank You so much for who You are. I thank You so much for Your love, Your forgiveness, Your mercy and Your grace, Lord. We don't deserve it. Father, I pray that You would help each and every one of us to set our minds on You, to focus on You. Lord, help us to set our hearts and our minds on things above. We can't do it without You, Lord. Help us. In Your name I pray. Amen.